Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to the Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Today, our guest is Marshall Morris. Marshall, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. So, Marshall, let us know what you do and where you live.
So, what I do is a very complicated question. we have a portfolio, a hold company, Holdco. We call it a build co, where we basically build businesses out, and we have a handful of e-commerce businesses in that. And a couple of media businesses as well. And we run that with a team of about 70 people around the world. And our headquarters is out of Anaheim, California.
Awesome. So what are your key responsibilities in your company?
Oh, I'm the visionary. So basically ideation, R&D, emerging trends, all that stuff. Like that's where my head stays, or helping. That's the one focus. That our focus is actually helping team members kind of execute. So helping figure out what resources they need and then putting those together for them. That's where I spend most of my time now. We're in this 10 years, so it was a lot different over the years, but now that's kind of where I sit.
Awesome. So let me know, how many people do you have in your company, and how many founders are the active founders?
We only have two founders, so me and my partner. We have about 70 people in the company, 35 kind of around the world, like as you would see with the traditional digital or an e-com business. And then we have 35 in the US. We have our own warehouse that we ship it, pick and ship from for e-commerce. So we do that in California. So we have 35 people in the US, 35 people around the world.
Awesome. So how you are handling this big team? Like in my sense, like when you have some overseas team members as well, at that time it becomes even more challenging. So how do you manage that team of around, I think, 100? So what are your processes?
Well, it's a great question. So we divide, so all of our teams are kind of, they all work in one towards company rocks, but they all have their own divisions, and so there's leadership at each division, and that allows us to make sure that everyone is kind of rowing in the same direction. So I don't lead a lot of the team members. That's done by their leaders. And so we kind of have a system where we all have a community vision and a community focus for what we're doing and for where we're growing and what we want to do. And then the team leaders are the ones who help manage their teams. So those teams could be anywhere in the world or in the US. And so that's the structure we have. It's very much cell driven, but we all like kind of wrap it all up into a big focus that at the company level. So everyone kind of, everything rolls up into where we want to go in the big picture.
All right. So what was the inspiration behind starting this business?
So that's a great question. I think it changes over time as you build on and you do different things. Initially, the business was started around in the pet space. And we saw these incredible communities online around Facebook and Instagram around pets. And so we started building a ton of communities there. And that's really where it started. We just saw the passion for people who own pets. This is way before it was like the thing to do. And so now we have millions and millions of customers and pets, and we've grown that substantially. So it really started with a passion for pets, and then it exploded from there. But as the business has grown and during, being 10 years in, like anyone who runs a business that long will realize the business takes different forms depending on the market, depending on what's coming out, depending on, how you're adapting. And so what's kept it exciting, what's been the focus of the business has definitely changed over time, big picture, but we've always been around. Every brand we build kind of gives back to the world in some very clear, measurable way that we're excited about.
Awesome. So who is your ideal customer? How you define your ideal customer?
That's complicated because we have multiple brands, right? Mm-hmm. And we have probably 500 SKUs. So mm-hmm. So there's a different customer profile for each launch, each brand, each segment, each channel, Amazon versus Meta versus TikTok. So there isn't just one, but When we are building products, we build them with a customer focus in mind. So we are building for a specific user, and we name them and we create a story around them. And so every brand has that. So for example, in the pet space, a lot of our buildings for our customer, we call her name is Jane. She tends to be an older customer, have been through multiple dog life cycles, lives in the US. So we build these profiles, each one, but there's not just one, there's many. And it all depends on the product, the brand, the market, the channel, right? Amazon, we might build things for Amazon that is a different type of consumer than we do for example, for D2C. So it depends. I think that's a lot of businesses are if they aren't that complex, they will be soon because every channel is different.
All right. So, when you have a lot of skills, I'm not sure how you can even understand like what is the main differentiator of your business, like that will differentiate your business from the others in the market.
So there's two, there's this is a kind of a multifaceted question. And this is how we see it in a couple of different ways. One is you have the brand. What does the brand do? How does the brand communicate itself to the customer? How does the customer engage with the brand? How do they feel about the brand? We try to build brands in general from a brand perspective, like the umbrella that customers can adopt as part of their identity. So the brands are very much about what they believe, what they do, value that the brand has just existing. And so our brands, we try to align with customers' identities. So pet brand is for people who love animals that also love to save, that believe every animal deserves a second chance, very active in rescue and shelters and these kind of things. There's so a brand level. But the product level itself has its own set of deliverables. Because here's the reality is like people aren't shopping anymore the way they used to. People don't go to a nav and then like, hey, let me just spend my time browsing a store. They're right to a product because most either they're searching for it through a channel that it's capturing demand, or they're introduced through a channel that generates demand. So really, as a brand, they're not buying just because it's that brand. They're buying because it's a product that they want or need, and you've made that case. So every product itself stands alone, but the brand is the backdrop that allows for multiple purchases to happen. So I think it's far more complex than it used to be, where they're like, hey, I like that brand, and oh, they have a new thing. I'm going to buy that new thing. It's not how it happens anymore. You have to have a brand that people trust. We all know that. But where you're winning is at the individual product level. Very rarely do consumers buy just because they like the brand. They have to like the product. They have to need the product. They have to want the product. They have to, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of considerations. And so we look at it's very multifaceted. You can have the best brand in the world and die as a business. It's very easy. Most do. So you have to focus on kind of the brand, but also the product as well.
All right. So you have a lot of products. You have a lot of skills. So whenever I talk with other entrepreneurs, everybody says that it is difficult to manage multiple products. So it is a big achievement if you can get some success with a couple of products. It's a big success, but managing a lot of products comes with a lot of challenges and problems. So what would you say, like what would be the two common problems that businesses face while trying to expand towards introducing more products?
That's a great question. So there's a lot of there's again, this is one that's very multifaceted. I think if I had to distill it down to like what is the biggest challenge brands face when adding new product lines, you like you said, you have all the management of the product, you have the manufacturing, the distribution, you have all these factors in building the product, storing the product, and then marketing the product. That's 100% true. So I think that's with any product. The biggest thing with building a physical product is you have to find a way to qualify it with the consumer before you actually build it, because you can build the thing that you think is the best, and then if you get it to the market and consumers don't want it. That happens quite a bit, actually. So you have to build a system and a mechanism that helps you qualify the product during every step. So it's like, maybe it's going to your people and saying, hey, we're going to introduce this. Who would buy this? Or doing a pre-sale, or doing, like, hey, sign up for the release. You got to find ways to quantify the product and make sure consumers actually want it before you invest a ton in manufacturing. So I think that's fundamentally the biggest challenge is how do you actually qualify a product that's worth being made? I mean, you can make it, team can support it. You can actually fund the inventory. You can fund the turn time, how fast it sells, and then you can also make money with advertising. So like there's all these factors. So you've got to find ways to kind of create micro tests before you really fund a huge PO, a purchase order to buy it. So I think of all the things, there's a lot of things that are hard about that. But the people who do the best in this find ways to qualify potential new products in a way that reduces the inherent risk of launching that product. And that is where the biggest opportunity has, because if you can test early, you can kill an idea early, and then that way you're on to the next one, and you're on to the next one until you find one that you think it works. So I think that is the recipe for success that you have to have. And there's, again, a lot of pieces in play that have to do once you get the product. But like, the biggest fails I see are people building a product or investing in molds or doing some kind of heavy investment, and then at the end of the day, the market doesn't want the product. Like they thought it was, they would, but they don't. And so I think that's the secret sauce to building products and having multiple SKUs, is that by the time we get a SKU in, we know we're going to sell it. Like, we're pretty confident we'll at least turn the inventory that we purchased. Like, we're pretty, like, with probably an 80% confidence factor that we'll, or more, that we'll turn the product that we were. So we know that worst case scenario, we'll get our money back.
All right. So you mean do not spend too much time to fail. Spend faster. Sorry, fail faster.
Yeah, it's like learn faster, right? That's ultimately, whether it's fail or success, you just have to learn faster and learn sooner.
Awesome. Awesome. So in terms of challenges, challenges are a main essence and a main thing for all the entrepreneurs. So I believe you must have faced tons of challenges within this within the last 10 years. But are you still facing any challenge? And do you think that challenges will keep going on till the end?
Yeah, so this is yes. So the answer is yes and yes. So there is always a challenge. This is the world we're in. There's always challenges, not challenges you create, meaning like decisions, whether intentional or unintentional, and challenges that happen because of the environment you're in, meaning Facebook changes, Apple changes, somebody changes, just there's no other way around it. You have to figure it out. That always happens. For a while there, I will say that like the way that you mentally kind of absorb challenges has to change, because if your hypothesis that is that you'll get into business, you'll build something, you build a product, or you'll get an internet business or digital business or whatever, and then you'll get to a point where you solved all the problems and it's smooth sailing, you're going to be very disappointed, because that doesn't happen. What happens is that you solve a problem, you get to breathe some fresh air, and then you're back into the next problem. And then you maybe breathe some fresh air, and then you're back into the next problem. That is the business. That's any business. So there will always be problems, and there's always going to be challenges. And it really is setting expectations, knowing, look, like that's the game that I'm playing. Like, I'm getting paid to solve problems. So that's what's going to happen.
All right, makes sense. Completely makes sense. Okay, so Marshall, in terms of marketing, how you are marketing this? Are you marketing it online or offline or on both platforms?
Well, we have a whole internal marketing team that runs paid marketing through Meta, TikTok. I mean, almost any platform you can imagine. You have a team that runs Amazon as well, does PPC. So we're basically in any platform that could scale. We're moving to retail in the next 12 to 24 months, which is a whole different game too. So we have a team that manages that. I think in the world that we're in, you have to figure out how, if you want to grow a business in this environment, you have to eventually figure out how to scale your paid marketing, because organic can only get you so far. And it's some people can make it more predictable because they get really good at how they organically market, and I think that's incredible. But if you want to be able to make sure that you can sell your product forever or for as long as possible, you've got to figure out a good paid strategy.
All right. So do you suggest that a founder should keep in the mind that I am going to separate the X amount of maybe X percentage of the revenue just for the marketing? Can you recommend a percentage?
Oh, great question. So it all depends on the margin of the product and the net profit, because like you can have a product where it's, because like if I say 20% of $1,000 is different than 20% of $100 or $10, right? So because numbers are dollar, like amounts are actually a factor in how much you can spend to acquire customers. So the way that we've, so it's, again, it's complex for every brand. So what we've seen is that you want to know, you really understand your numbers. So you know what your gross margin is, and also what your COGS are. So if your product has 90% margin, 80-90% margin, and it's a low cost item to fulfill, right? Ship, fill, order, whatever. You can spend, depending on the mechanism you use, depending on your costs and how you're holding inventory, you can spend 30, 40% on that product as a percentage of marketing specific to that product. If your product has a 50% margin, it's far less, unless you're going to bet on the LTV, the lifetime value of the customer, and then you model it off of that. So every brand is different. Our brands range anywhere from 20 to 40%, depending on product, depending on seasonality, ads, like performance, all that stuff. So, but to think that you'll launch a product, and this is what I think that is really important, is that to think you're going to launch a product and then you're not going to factor in a marketing budget that's, 20, 30% of the cost, like you're just shooting yourself in the foot before you start. We are in a paid world. And that's the reality. So,
Hey y'all, it's Dan Melnick, the CEO of Zing, and I wanted to share a special offer for all of our listeners. Right now, if you need software development services, we'll give you 2 weeks of a free trial. Do you need to update your website? Do you want to build a mobile app? Do you want to update something that you've been working on for a long time? We've worked in a high-level technology like AI, machine learning, blockchain. So shoot me a text, 817-874-2208. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. So, what are the parameters to measure the success?
the success of your marketing, of your marketing spend, is that
Oh,
what's in that?
no, sorry, not the success of marketing, but success of a business.
Oh, well, I mean, honestly, I have a different approach on that. I think the way we look at it, and it's smart when times are hard, and it's not so smart when times are easy. And that would be, it really comes down to how much profit your business is doing. Because if you have a profit, if you run a net profitable business, if you can run a net profitable business, you're going to have all the options in the world. And so I think that will give you that you're playing the long-term success game. If you're trying to launch, a unicorn tech business, we've seen there's some that have come out, they're incredible. Facebook is one, right? Some other ones, there's a lot of them. Very few, though, actually, even once they hit unicorn status, end up sticking there. I mean, Facebook did because it had a revenue source. It had a really, but look at all the other ones that you've seen launch too, that WeWork and all these other ones. They're just like, they're billion-dollar babies, and now they're just like burning. So if you look at this trajectory of all the businesses in general that you consider maybe online businesses or digital businesses, and you track them, the ones that always end up performing consistently well and have the most options through any cycle are businesses that create net profit, that create cash flow. So while that may not be as like the sexiest thing to do, like everybody wants to take a ton of VC money and have catered lunches and ping pong tables and things like that. But if you want something consistent that you can build into an asset over time and continue to build until you get a substantial exit, then you want to build a business that has consistent net profit. That would be the success benchmark that allows businesses to win no matter what season they're in, no matter what season the economy's in.
Makes sense. Completely makes sense. Awesome. So, Marshall, what would be your biggest piece of advice to the ones who are going to be an entrepreneur, or maybe they are struggling with the entrepreneurship?
What I would do, I think that there's a lot of, like, we don't know, we don't know. And I think that when we're sucked into the excitement of building a business and being an entrepreneur, and we see guys saying on Twitter that, hey, I'm making 10,000 a day, doing this or whatever, whatever, whatever. One of the best ways is just to find somebody you can learn from. Like when you're early in your journey, you just need to be in learning mode. So, and that could be either learn if you can build something, build it. If you can't, if you don't have the resources to build or the time, see if you can find someone you can work with, you can learn from that is building. So you can acquire those skills and see that process and that thought. Because if I look back, I think my 20s really was learning, failing and learning as much as possible because I had all those opportunities. After that, it was like, okay, I think I know what I'm doing, and we go into build mode and stuff. So I think that my advice would be, if you're not actively building yourself, that doesn't mean that that's the end all. You can choose to kind of work, partner, or figure out how to get inside an ecosystem that's building, that's entrepreneurial, and really earn your chops there. Really learn what all that in an environment where you're not taking all the risk, right? So you just need to get in there and figure it out. That's my advice. However you get there, you just got to learn.
Awesome, awesome. That was a great session, Marshall. Please let our viewers know how they can reach you, how they can, like, you can share your website, you can share your social media handles.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm just on the best place is just LinkedIn. You find Marshall S. Morris on LinkedIn. Yeah, I love chatting and I'm always there to help other entrepreneurs who are in their journey too.
Awesome, awesome, Marshall. Thank you. Thanks for joining us today. It was a great session. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. It was great.
Have a good day. Bye bye.
Bye.